Our subject today is building on a strong foundation. And when you think of building on foundations, it's very likely that you think of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7, the end of the chapter there, verses 24 through 27. The Lord Jesus says here, as he concludes the Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." And Jesus goes on to say that everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So certainly our Lord Jesus Christ talks about this matter of building, the matter of having proper foundations. He says the wise man founded or built his house upon the rock, but the foolish man built his house upon the sand. But today we do not want to talk so much about the words of our Lord in Matthew, although you would have been reading about this in the daily manna, since this quarter's daily manna reading is again in the New Testament, in the Gospels. So you would be reading Matthew's Gospel at this particular time. But we want to look here at the passage that we began last week. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth, points out that the believers in Corinth were carnal, fleshly, worldly believers. And as he writes about that, one of the evidences of that he mentions is that the people there in Corinth had a tendency to have their favors. Some would say, "I'm of Paul," and somebody else would say, "I am of Apollos." And so as we see Paul coming in verse 11 to the foundation of building a strong foundation. You know, there was a problem there with the believers in Corinth. They were not united. They were divided. "I'm of Paul, you're of Apollos. Apollos is just a young man. No, I'm standing strong. I stand with Paul." And somebody else would come up, "Well, Paul is all right, but you know, you really need one of the disciples of Jesus. I'm of Peter. I'm of Cephas. You know, he is better yet." And then somebody else would probably come and say, No, John was a beloved disciple. So that's the one that we should follow." But it's pointed out here, of course, that we are not to pick and choose whether it be Paul or Apollos or any one of these, because the Apostle Paul, as he writes here, he points out that such exaltation could not be at the expense of Christ, because that's what was happening. They didn't say, "I'm of Christ." They said, "I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos." But hold on a moment. What about being of Christ? That is ultimately the true foundation. And that's why it says in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So the foundation, if we are building on a strong foundation, the foundation is not Paul, it's not Peter, it's not Apollos, it's not any one of these, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true foundation of our faith. And we see that, of course, if you look at some of the Bible verses that no doubt are familiar to you, but John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, unto Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the foundation. If anyone wants to come to the Father, it has to be through me, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why, that's the only way of salvation, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, you know, if you look at the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 12, we have another one of these well-known verses that no doubt some of you have memorized. But in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So again, we come back to that name of Jesus Christ. He is the foundation. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no salvation in Paul. There's no salvation in Apollos. It is only in Jesus Christ. And then, you know, later on, we might mention also in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, where Paul again talks about that faith. And he points out there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So if we go from man to God, the only mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not Peter, it's not Paul, it's not Apollos. No, it is Jesus Christ. So the very foundation when we talk about our faith is in Christ. And we must be grounded, we must be rooted in Him. And we might ask, are you rooted in Christ? Is your foundation the Lord Jesus Christ? For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, witness Jesus Christ. That is the true foundation for our faith. So do you build on that foundation? Or do you build on some other foundation? Your own wisdom. Your own strength. I'm doing it. I can do it. You know, I'm pretty clever. And I have a good education. You know, I can do all this myself. But that is the wrong attitude. It must all come through Christ. For He is the true foundation. So when we're building on a strong foundation, you need to realize then that the first thing is the foundation. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if we have that foundation, we begin to build upon that foundation. And that's what Paul talks about as he continues here, verses 12 to verse 13. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, so after the foundation has been laid, the building proper can begin. And I'm sure you've all watched builders, you know, they put down that slab for the foundation. If you're building in Singapore, you probably have to do some piling first. And I can remember as a boy that that soil also soft. And you know, you hear bang, bang, you know, and you're trying to sleep, you know, and you hear this piling going on. And this is quite common because the soil is soft. We need to have a proper foundation before the building can begin. They say that the Royal Palace in Amsterdam is built on, now the number of days in the year is 365, put a 1 in front and put a 0 at the end, 13650, that's how many piles were put into the ground to build the Royal Palace in Amsterdam. So in other words, 13,650. Well, I don't know. I didn't count it. But that's what they claim. But it's only till the foundation is settled. Then you can start building. But then, as the builder is building, you may ask yourself, does the builder use good materials or does he use inferior materials? Does the builder sometimes take shortcuts? I think many of you would remember how some years ago in Singapore a hotel collapsed because the builder had taken shortcuts. He did not use proper materials. He used inferior materials, and after some time it showed and the whole hotel collapsed. And we've seen other cases too where buildings collapse. But even if the buildings do not collapse, you can often tell that a builder has put in very cheap materials. You know, you look at it, and it may look nice on the outside, but when you take a close look, you see that this was not a very good building. Use maybe a cheap quality paint or thin out the paint and it doesn't last. Remember one time seeing a house that had a beautifully painted blue roof, and when it started raining, pretty soon the blue was all gone. It looked nice, but it didn't last. So, you know, you have to consider that and ask yourself, does the building use good materials? Does it use cheap or inferior materials? And as I say, sometimes this doesn't show up till several years later when the builder, of course, is long gone. We have, since we've been in the house that we are now living in, I've had people knocking on the door. Oh, we're doing a job nearby here. We'd be happy to do the same for you, you know, since we're here anyway. Well, in the case I'd have to say no, thank you. In that case, it's easy for me. I'm just renting. You'll have to see my landlord. Oh, okay. And then they disappear. But, you know, these kind of things are constantly going on. And you ask yourself, what kind of building is going on the foundation? And Paul points out that in verse 12, that some build edifices of gold, silver, and precious stones. In other words, these are beautiful. These are lasting materials. This is material that would be suitable for a temple. But then others, he says, use wood, hay, and stubble. These are baser materials. They're perishable materials. And they're only fitted or suitable for a temporary house, but certainly not for a permanent temple. You know, thinking here again of those temples that we saw when we went to Greece and Turkey, I realized that all we saw was the remains and the ruins standing. But even then you could tell that these were built well. They were built to last. So they used good materials in general. Well, that's it. Now, if we look at the gold, silver, and precious stones, we might say that this refers to a Christian life of the noblest kind, a life built out of faith and hope and love. There is a life that is built well, built on a solid foundation, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, but built well. Gold, it's been suggested that we might think of the gold as service that is rendered to the Lord by a heroic faith. Not just a, you know, very small faith, but a strong faith, a great faith. And for that matter, there is a patient suffering. You think of the martyrs over the years. Those that gave their lives for the cause of Christ. Those who endured. Those who suffered. You might think, of course, of the martyrs in the early church, Perpetua, a girl that had a young lady, I probably should say, married, had a baby, still breastfeeding, but she was killed because of her faith in Christ. You know, you might think of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. You might think of the Apostle Paul. You say, was he martyred? Well, the Bible doesn't tell us, but according to tradition, the Apostle Paul was beheaded during the reign of the Emperor Nero. We might think of Peter. Again, the Bible doesn't say how he died, but according to tradition, he was crucified upside down. He did not think he was worthy to die in the same way that our Lord died. So he said, if you're going to crucify me, you better do it upside down. Well, these are some of the traditions that we have. Well, I guess we'll have to ask him, you know, when we see him, whether it was right side up or upside down or how he died. But we know these are the men who gave their lives. And by the way, not only men, Perpetua was a woman, but who gave their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. So we might think that building upon this foundation, gold, people like the great martyrs of the faith, some of the great believers that we know. Silver, well, silver, we would say, is not quite as valuable as the gold, but still it's a very valuable material. You know, so silver being suggested may indicate a work that is probably less brilliant than that done by the gold one, but certainly it would be a very useful and a very appropriate labor for the Lord, a honest doing of God's will in their lives. And so it is like silver, not quite the gold, but it's silver there. And then you have the precious stones, and incidentally the precious stones are there mentioned here do not refer to diamonds or rubies or what have you, but rather this refers to building materials, because he's talking now about materials in building upon the foundation, so that the precious stones would refer to like marble or granite, some of these materials that may be used in building temples or buildings that would last for many, many years. And as you think of the marble, the granite, the precious stones here, you know, indicating probably a life that is a solid Christian life. There's a life of strength. Others may lean upon them. There's not the kind of sacrifice that you might see in the believers that are like gold or even like silver, but there is that dependable Christian life, faithful service for God. You know, and you have some people that you know you can say, that is a person you can lean upon. He really stands firm. He does not waver. You know, this morning at Asheville Baptist Church, we talked about Mordecai. And Mordecai was one of these men. You know, Esther chapter 3, what do you have? Haman. You know, and everybody had to bow down to Haman. And as Haman went through Shushan, the palace, and that area there, you know, all the people be bowing down to him. But one guy stood there, not bowing one centimeter, not one millimeter. Why not? Because he knew, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he was not going to bow down to any man. He would only bow to God. Standing firm, you could depend on him. You can trust him. You know, that's the kind of man that is like the precious stones, a solid believer in Jesus Christ. So, a strong believer. Others may lean upon him and come to him for help and guidance. And so Paul says, you know, that's what we have. If any man build upon this foundation, gold or silver or precious stones. So the gold, silver, precious stone, a Christian life of the noblest kind, the best kind, built on faith and hope and love. But then he also points out there are others that build, and their work is like wood, hay, and stubble. And the wood, hay, and stubble would refer to a Christian life of the poorest kind. There's little spiritual insight. These people are swayed by public opinion. You know, if somebody makes a comment, their behavior is affected by what people say. We had a very interesting experience last night. My wife and I went out for dinner together, and as we always do, we pray before, you know, we ate. And then, you know, my wife and I were facing each other opposite the table. She was looking this way, I was looking that way. And as she was looking that way, she noticed there was a table actually next to us. There was a lady with a couple of two young children. She looked Asian. And she said to me, "Pray." Kind of quickly looked over there, and you could tell that she was praying with the children. Now, I don't know whether our praying encouraged her to pray or not. You know, we never talked to them. But you wonder sometimes. You know, you see some of these wood, hay, stubble believers. And they will not pray in public because after all, you know, my friends will think I'm kind of weird. You know, so they will not do that. So they're affected by what people say. Go to church on Sunday? Ridiculous, you know. There's better things to do in your time on Sunday. You can go to the beach. Look, it's too hot to be in church. Well, that's being swayed by public opinion, by what the people comment, by what people say. But that's the wood hay stubble believer. You know, he's affected by what people say. There's a barren life. It's not a productive life. They bring forth little, if anything, for the glory of God. And yet we're told that whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, it should all be for the glory of God, but not the wood, hay, stubble believer. Well, I don't like to talk about them very much because it's too depressing to see how bad that Christian life is. I'd rather talk about the gold, silver, and precious stones. So I'm not going to say anything more about wood, hay, and stubble. But it refers to Christians of the poorest kind. But then, as Paul continues here, after laying the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and going on with the building, we realize now that two kinds of buildings are built. You know, either gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. You might compare it almost with the words of Jesus. He that heareth these words of mine and doeth them is like a man who built his house upon the rock. But the one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he is like the man who built his house upon the sand. No, we want to build our house upon the rock. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. But we need to know that as Paul concludes these few verses here, 11 to 15, that he also talks ultimately about the judgment. The judgment. He says, every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try or test every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide or remain which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. But what we need to realize that there is a judging going on. The works, do they burn up or do they remain? And so in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So when we talk about that judgment, we realize we must all appear, and all refers here to all believers. So that's why the word all is an interesting word, because we would be inclined to say all means all. But sometimes the all is restricted. There is some indication there. Like, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ is all believers. Because the judgment of all unbelievers is seen in Revelation 20, 11 to 15. Also same verses, 11 to 15. But there, it is the great white throne judgment, which is the judgment of the unbeliever. So we see the judgment, but it is the judgment seat of Christ. And in John's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 22, Jesus says, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. So we will actually not have to face the judgment of God the Father, but we'll have to face the judgment of God the Son. And that applies to both believers and unbelievers. It's the judgment seat of Christ that believers have to face. And the great white throne judgment, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who sits on that throne. And that's why, you know, you think about it. Here, we as believers, what is our relationship to Jesus Christ? Is he the foundation for our faith? If he is the foundation and we build like gold, silver, precious stones upon that foundation, we will not be ashamed when we face his judgment. You know, you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and you realize
He is the one who died for my sins on the cross. Ah, this will be shameful. We realize we have not measured up to the standard that God wants in His Word. No, be deeply ashamed. But in spite of that, He still loves us.
All right, He points that out here as well. So we realize the judgment then is the judgment of Christ. But then I should also realize that the true nature of our life and work here on this earth is not always seen here on this earth. We may judge wrongly. We may judge other people wrongly. We may judge ourselves wrongly. And we see that sometimes men praise the wood as if it were gold. On the other hand, they sometimes depreciate the gold as if it were wood. You know, so what is really true? Sometimes people do not realize what it is. And that's why sometimes, you know, you see people and say, well, you know, here's just a poor blind woman. What can she do? Well, what she can do is write 6,000 hymns that we still sing today. Maybe not all 6,000, but certainly quite a few of them. I'm sure you realize, I think, you know, Fanny Crosby. You know, you think of some of these others, that people that we don't even know, the people that give out of their poverty, give generously to the work of the Lord, people that cannot go as missionaries, but who can pray. And you know, we might think, oh, the missionaries, they'll be the ones that will be like gold, and they'll be recognized in heaven. Well, maybe, maybe not. Because, remember, man judges by the outward appearance, but the Lord judges according to the heart. And so it may be the poor widow who prays and prays and prays may get a greater reward in heaven than the missionary that she's praying for. You know, so we need to realize that the true nature of our life on earth and our work here on this earth is not always seen here on earth. But the Lord sees, and He rewards accordingly. See, you know, sometimes we have that old saying, don't we? Time will tell. And time will tell a lot. But time will not tell everything. Because time ultimately tests only partially. But the ultimate, the thorough test, is the test of the judgment fire that is mentioned here. Every man's work shall be made manifest, the day shall declare, it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, the structure of gold, of silver, of precious stones, that shall stand. I think you're well aware that it is fire that purifies the gold and the silver. I don't think fire is going to purify the marble or the granite. That probably crack in the fire. But the gold and the silver will be purified. So the fire, there's gold, there is silver. They'll be in the fire, but they will be more pure than they were before. Truth will come through the fire. And so, a genuine, unselfish, Christ-like life will also come through the fire. That's why we've been emphasizing last year of our church team, growing in Christ-likeness. Because if we live like Christ, if we show Him in our lives, then we know that we will receive a reward. Because work for eternity endures. Salvation, of course, we know is a free grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, But their reward is, as Revelation 22:12 tells us, their reward is according as his work. But their reward is based on works. And so the structural gold and silver, precious stones, when that is tried by fire, it will come up more pure, and the Lord will reward accordingly. All right, we've talked about the rewards in a sense, and you know, the Apostle Paul also mentioned, not just Paul, but others too, the crowns that believers receive as rewards. Crown of glory. You know, you have five different crowns that the Lord gives. But ultimately, as Revelation tells us, we will cast our crowns at the feet of the Lord, realizing that we are not worthy. The hymn writes, crowns at his feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. But then, you know, in addition to all these gold, silver, precious stones, there's also the structure of wood, hay, and stubble. And of course in the fire, pretty often, kind of be burned up. And picture the consternation of the poor builder. He's been building, building, building. Look, look what I have built. And then, his jaw drops open as he sees it all burns up. Fire does its awful work, and all that's left are some ashes. Now, note one thing. He himself is saved, but his labor is lost. If any man's work, verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. No rewards, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This is not the fire of purgatory, please. This has nothing to do with purgatory. This is simply a fire that tries our works. What have we done for the Lord? Have we built on that strong foundation of Jesus Christ? Have we built a structure of gold, silver, precious stones? Or have we built like wood, hay, stubble? We're still saying, this does not talk about salvation at all, but it does talk about rewards, or the lack of rewards, for believers. So, as we think of our church theme for this year, that we are laborers together with God, which we saw in verse 9 last week, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. What do we do with that building? How do we build? You know, Daniel Webster had some excellent advice in this regard. He said, if we work on marble, it will perish. If we work on brass, time will efface it. If we rear temples, they will crumble to dust. But if we work on men's immortal minds, if we imbue them with high principles, with just fear of God and love of their fellow men, we engrave on those tablets something which time cannot efface, and which will brighten and brighten to all eternity. Gives you something to think about, doesn't it? If you work on marble, it'll perish. We saw this in Athens, in Greece, you know, Turkey, the Paris places there. But if you work on man's immortal mind, there are eternal results. That's the way God works. And so, you and I, Christians, are laborers together with God. Then we need to build on the foundation. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, He is the foundation. But how do we build on that foundation? That's the question. Do we build like gold, silver, precious stones? Or like wood, hay, stubble? Hay and stubble in the judgment will burn up and you will have nothing to present to the Lord. But if your works are like the gold and the silver and the precious stones, purified in the fire, you will have something to present to the Lord, and He will reward you accordingly. Building on a strong foundation. May God help us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we have considered the foundation, the building, and the judgment, help us to remember that one day, as believers in Jesus Christ, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Lord, help us then to build upon our foundation gold, silver, precious stones, and then building that is permanent, a building that time cannot efface, a building that will brighten and brighten to all eternity. O Lord, may our works not be like the wood, hay, and stubble that burn in the fire. We know, Father, that believers by death will still be saved. They'll still spend eternity with Thee. But, Father, they will miss out on the rewards. Lord, help us to faithfully serve Thee as we build on the strong foundation, the rock, Jesus Christ. While we pray in His holy and precious name. Amen.